Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. You're listening to Movie Addict Headquarters, and I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, putting on my Shrekologist hat to bring you a 15-minute emergency report comparing Shrek's final movie to his wonderful first adventure on film. Although we didn't plan on scheduling the show today, this topic is so urgent that I decided, even if Nikki and Jazz couldn't be here, I would try to do it justice. Fortunately, despite the short notice, Nikki is in our chat room, and I think Jazz is listening on the phone for a few minutes. As usual, I really appreciate the people who signed up for the chat, as well as our other listeners. Before beginning this report, I want everyone to know that my opinions do not necessarily reflect the views of Nikki or Jazz or anyone connected with Blog Talk Radio or any other Shrek fans for that matter. So here goes. In Shrek Forever After, Shrek and his friends get bored with everyday life, so they take a trip to Las Vegas and spend a wild weekend which they can't remember afterwards. Just kidding, folks. But that's what I did imagine while trying to pay attention to this disappointing fourth outing by some of my favorite animated movie characters. No matter how hard I tried, and I tried very, very hard, my mind kept wandering from what was happening on screen, which never occurred during the previous highly entertaining Shrek adventures. Now, I think maybe I'm just immune to It's a Wonderful Life themes by now. Shrek Forever After plumbs the depths of despair, similar to the ones explored in Frank Capra's classic movie. Now, that's difficult to take, don't you think, even for adults? But in a film aimed at children, yikes, toddlers at the screening I attended were very restless during this PG movie, and the older youngsters laughed only intermittently. I'll tell you a little bit about the story. It focuses on a contract between Shrek, voiced by Mike Myers with his usual very, very funny Scottish accent, and Rumpelstiltskin, voiced by Walt Dorn. Our lovable green ogre seems to be having difficulty with his responsibilities as a husband and father. So when the crafty Rumpelstiltskin offers him a chance to spend one day like the untroubled guy he used to be, Shrek signs on the dotted line. Note to self, always read the small print before signing any contract. Well, Shrek gets magically transported to a very different world, one he really, really enjoys for a few minutes. Why? Because he can behave like a devil-may-care ogre. But alas, Donkey, voiced by Eddie Murphy, Puss in Boots, voiced by Antonio Banderas, Be Still My Heart, and Fiona, voiced by Cameron Diaz, don't even know him. So he must make friends all over again. And guess what? Only true love's kiss can break this spell. Where have we seen or heard or read that before, dear listeners? Shrek will also need to join a rebel group led by Fiona in order to defeat an evil tyrant, and that's Rumpy, of course, and his minions, which include numerous semi-scary witches. Speaking of Puss in Boots, I'm not at all happy about the misuse of this charming character here. It's so annoying to see the debonair, swashbuckling Puss get transformed into a spoiled pet. But take heart, Banderas fans. I think a Puss in Boots animated feature is still in the works, and I'm fairly certain we'll be seeing this captivating cat in all his glory once again. It can't come too soon for me. The brightest part of this generally dark movie, and I'm using the term dark to refer both to the theme and the cinematography here, but the bright thing is the music. Some of these wonderful songs are included. Top of the World, Dueling Banjos, The Greatest Love of All, and Once in My Life, and they're used to enhance various sequences. I highly recommend the movie soundtrack. It's just too bad I can't say the same for the film itself. This final chapter is a far cry from the original Shrek film, which had so much going for it. Remember in the first movie, Shrek says ogres are a lot like onions. They're green and ugly and have layers. Well, the original flick had layers too. It's billed as a fractured fairy tale, and it offered plenty of laughs on one level, and then you peel off that cover and something deeper emerged. The importance of friendship and true love are explored with unusual sensitivity in scenes between Shrek and Fiona and between Donkey and Shrek. Friends forgive friends, Donkey teaches Shrek. From Fiona, this unjolly green giant learns that looks aren't everything to a loving significant other. Getting to know Shrek in his first animated comedy brought back memories of my favorite fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast. Predictably, Shrek turns out to be just as lonely and misunderstood as Belle's hairy friend. But watching a surly monster change into a lovable hunk gets to me every time. And speaking of fairy tales, this first Shrek pokes fun at practically all of them, at least the Disney versions. I remember even a sweet singing bluebird resembling the one in Snow White meets an untimely end. And nursery rhyme characters take their lumps here too. For example, remember the three blind mice bumping into everything and a gingerbread boy enduring his worst nightmare as he faces a kind of torture that's really just a milky torture at that. When these imaginary creatures beg Shrek to save them from the evil Lord Farquaad, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, voiced by John Lithgow, it's an offer he can't refuse, especially since they've been banished and taken up residence in his very own swamp, a place he wants for himself alone, of course. Shrek's mission? To rescue Princess Fiona, the lovely bachelorette chosen by Farquaad as his bride after seeing her compared to Cinderella and Snow White in his confiscated magic mirror. Oh, how I love these amusing pop culture references in this first Shrek film. All Shrek has to do now is fight a fire-breathing dragon guarding the tower in which Fiona is held prisoner, and in keeping with the film's intent to subvert our ideas about fairy tales, this dragon is unlike any seen or read about so far. But not to worry. Shrek's helper on his important quest is a talking donkey who expresses amusing thoughts about everything and insists on humming annoyingly, especially to Shrek, in an effort to bolster Shrek's spirits as well as his own. It doesn't take us long to figure out that Donkey's cheeriness and excessive talking mask a loneliness equal to Shrek's. In fact, I think Donkey and Shrek are two sides of the same coin. Happily, in the second and third Shrek movies, Banderas's marvelous Puss in Boots adds considerably to all the fun. It pains me to say that I found most of the fun missing from Shrek Forever After. You've been listening to an emergency report presented as a public service. Thanks, as always, to Nikki, Jazz, and the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support. Thanks also to our perceptive chatters and other listeners for tuning in. Be sure to come back for our regular show next Tuesday, June 1st at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when the entire Movie Addict Headquarters gang returns. Our guest will be rising star Christine Evangelista, who has agreed to talk about her lead role in Goodbye Baby, which is being released on DVD that very day. It's about a young woman's struggle to become a successful stand-up comic. And that will be the first show in our salute to the funny ladies of showbiz during the month of June. I can't help being very excited about next month's schedule. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, since this has been a different type of show today, let's go out with some different music. It's National Tap Dance Day, so we'll close the show with a song about dancing. Get ready for Kenny Loggins and Footloose.
Gotta cut loose.